Prime Time replay from Money FM 89.3.
As the U.S.-China trade war continues to hurt companies and businesses worldwide, world leaders turn their attention on the highly anticipated bilateral meeting between U.S. President Donald Trump and Chinese President Xi Jinping that's slated to happen tomorrow at the G20 Leaders Summit in Osaka, Japan. Trade, climate change, tensions with Iran. These are expected to be the big topics for the summit as G20 leaders push for greater free trade as a way to achieve a stronger global economic outlook. The summit kicked off today and will run till Sunday. Joining us now is Joshua Chambers, founder and managing editor of GovInsider. Joshua, the most high-profile, much-anticipated meeting between Trump and Xi Jinping set to happen tomorrow in Osaka. Both leaders set to get derailed trade talks back on track. At least that's the hope. How likely do you think a trade truce could emerge from this meeting?
The outcomes of President Donald J. Trump. Yes, these leaders are talking, but China is hurting, and Trump seems to be happy. The U.S. economy is still growing, and he feels that he has the upper hand. President Xi did greet President Trump a few years ago when Trump was first appointed in China with grand dinners, beautiful tours, incredibly warm welcome. And Trump, when he was there, felt flattered. You remember when he was talking to television afterwards, he was saying how great a friend President Xi is and how honored he was, how flattered he was by the attention. Did it then stop him taking on China in a trade war? No, it did not. So I'm fairly pessimistic about the outcome of this meeting, because look at Huawei, who had to knock $30 billion off the revenue predictions just this year as a result of Trump's actions. He made statements today at the G20 about the security of 5G, which is essentially another dig at that company. And right throughout his life, he's been known as Tariff Man. In the 1980s, he was writing opinion pieces for the New York Times, calling then for tariffs on Japan. This is one of his core political beliefs. As he would come up to the next election, he wants to appeal, he said, to his base to win that election. He doesn't want to win everyone over. He wants his nationalist, populist base to turn up and vote. And taking on China is a good way to do that. It's a way to make himself look strong.
Mm-hmm. Well, after rounds of trade negotiations for months now, Joshua, the U.S. and China have yet to come to a deal. What do you think needs to be compromised before both sides can come to an agreement?
Trump has recently reached a trade agreement with Mexico, and that may be instructive, because in that instance, Mexico found another political issue that was close to Trump's heart. They promised to stop refugees coming in to the south of their country, and they promised to enforce tight checks at the border with the United States in the north of their country. And making this strong and very public commitment to help President Trump on another issue, which is very important to him and to his political base, did ultimately mean that they got a trade agreement signed and they were able to renegotiate that NAFTA agreement that they had. But is there another issue that China can find to assuage Trump's concerns? It doesn't seem so, because Trump has always said, as he's been running for president, that he has an issue with China's currency, the amount it exports to the United States. So to him, this is a zero-sum game. He either wins or he loses. And for China and the U.S. to come to an agreement, that would mean that China would have to act as though it was losing.
Given China's economic growth is hurting, and with Trump heading into an election year, could sides be in a rush to reach a deal that both sides will lead to a ceasefire, rather?
Personally, I don't believe that they're in a rush to reach a ceasefire. The Chinese leadership seems to be expecting a time of hardship. These are the sorts of comments that people in Chinese government now are using. There is going to be a difficult few years for that economy. It's not going to grow as fast as it has. But that is the struggle that they feel they face, because the alternative is looking very weak and compromising and then being seen to compromise. And Trump equally doesn't want to look weak as that election approaches. So both sides appear to be settling in to a protracted disagreement. This is predictions that many governments in the world are making, as well as they worry about their own economy, they worry about their own economic growth. But it doesn't seem so far that either publicly are in a rush. Both are suggesting that if this is the way it has to be, this is the way it has to be. It will take some time to work through this, but China doesn't want to risk what it thinks happened to Japan, which was that Japan made a trade agreement with the United States in the 1990s, and after it made that agreement, its economy went through decades of weakness, of inflation, and pain. They seem to see that, as they have been publicly writing in the Global Times, in many other places, as far worse than having some short-term hardship of now, those two decades of stagflation and a lack of any economic growth.
Mm-hmm. Well, Russian President Vladimir Putin has said that liberalism, an ideology that has been a driving force for Western democracies for decades, now had outlived its purpose. I mean, what does it mean by that, and do you agree?
President Putin is celebrating the populism and the nationalism that we've seen take shape in many countries around the world. Of course, the United States voted for President Trump with an economic nationalist viewpoint. The United Kingdom voted for Brexit. Again, it was a very nationalist vote to pull out of the European Union. So this means that we're seeing these liberal bodies where countries work together at an elite level to put aside their national views and achieve an international consensus is becoming less likely. Putin sees a rise of politics much more tied to identity, and it's something he's played on very strongly himself in Russia during his terms as president. We're coming into this era of strongmen, Putin feels, and ultimately he is one of these strongmen himself. This has very practical implications because, first, when we see politicians acting in this more nationalist way, pleasing their base, but at the expense of international cooperation, that makes them very aggressive and sometimes unpredictable. We also see that there's a big discussion when it comes to identity on immigration and overseas trade. And then finally, we see these international bodies themselves affected. So the United States has massively defunded its commitment to the United Nations. Britain also, of course, is leaving the European Union. And these bodies were established after the Second World War to create international harmony, to create and prevent conflict, and to tackle problems like climate change that are bigger than one nation. So the dismantling of these institutions, the return to a populist, nationalist viewpoint from nations makes countries more self-interested and far less easy to understand.
Are there any countries that would benefit from this era of strongmen and the death of liberalism?
Well, China does appear to be benefiting in some way, because you can see that China is stepping into the void that the United States is pulling out of. China, more and more, when you go to UN summits, when you engage with UN institutions, is playing a bigger and bigger role there. It's Chinese officials who are running some of the key parts of the secretariat. Lots of Chinese government officials seconded into the United Nations, but still actually given a salary by the Chinese government, are shaping those policies, shaping those reports on everything from human rights to recently, of course, we saw the Global Committee on IT, the ITU, make comments about the future of 5G. So it does give China greater influence. And equally, we can see them building up their own liberal internationalist organizations as well. They've got One Belt, One Road, a Chinese-run international project, and there's the Asian Infrastructure Investment Bank, a rival to the World Bank, which is run by the United States, and another international body that gives China a great deal of power and influence on the world stage.
Mm-hmm. Well, Mr. Putin, by the way, has also said that the U.S.-Russia relations are getting worse and worse about 2 weeks ago. And earlier today, Mr. Trump had also asked Mr. Putin not to interfere with the upcoming U.S. elections. Even though Mr. Trump's admonition did not appear to be serious, what do you make of this?
What do I make of Putin and Trump's discussion?
Mm-hmm.
It's an important one, isn't it? Because there has not been any evidence published from the Mueller report that did publicly suggest that Russia did work with the Trump campaign. That's been an allegation that's been floating around for years. But it does not seem to have actually been a part of that report from all the things that have been made public. That said, Trump has been quite pro-Russia. So we see lots of different predictions, lots of different observations. But from a purely legal standpoint of what is in the public domain, I would suggest that you have to go with all of the reports that have been put before Congress, all that is in the public domain, and suggest that actually, in the last election, the Trump campaign did not collaborate on official level with Russia. That doesn't mean that Russia hasn't tried in some ways to influence global elections. The Canadians are very worried about this. They've just released a new strategy which allows any political party to be working with the national intelligence agencies if they see any foreign interference. President Macron in France also famously suffered from Macron leaks when he was running, and the National Front, a very far-right, aggressive nationalist party, looked to be benefiting from these leaks. But Macron very publicly stood up and in that instance said that he did believe that the Russians had tried to interfere through their media organization, Sputnik, and also by leaking information to the WikiLeaks site as well. And so these countries have been standing up and saying there has been state actions. But it's a very difficult one to have any proof on. And President Trump himself has always said he doesn't believe that the Russians have interfered. What we should make of that, I don't know.
Moving on now to Trump and Japanese Prime Minister Shinzo Abe, who earlier today discussed efforts to ensure respect for sovereignty, the rule of law, the principle of free, fair and reciprocal trade. This comes days after Trump criticized Japan for being unfair in their trade practices. We've got about a minute on the clock. How do you think things are going to move on from here, Joshua?
Public criticism of President Trump never seems to make any impact on him whatsoever. He simply doesn't care what other people think of him. So the Japanese have asked for greater respect. Do we think that President Trump is going to be more respectful in his international dealings? No. Is he going to change the habit of a lifetime? No. Trump has always seen throughout his entire life that tearing up the rules of respect for sovereignty, the rule of law, the principle of free, fair and reciprocal trade, and all of the other things that Prime Minister Abe has said, he has found that working outside of the rules has greatly benefited him. So I feel that the Japanese have, of course, publicly wanted to represent their nation, their citizens, by suggesting that Trump's actions are unfair. But I would suggest, as we always see with Trump, that there's a great scandal, a great deal of criticism. He appears to relish it, and then nothing whatsoever changes.
Okay. Well, thank you very much, Joshua Chambers, founder and managing editor of Gov Insider. And we'll be discussing all about the trade war, U.S. and China trade war happening right now. And everybody's focusing on the meeting between President Donald Trump and Chinese President Xi Jinping, which is happening tomorrow at the G20 Leaders Summit in Osaka, Japan. And of course, the summit is happening as of today, kicked off, and will run all the way till Sunday. And of course, all of us will be keeping our focus on the meeting between President Trump and President Xi Jinping.
To listen to more great interviews, download our podcasts at moneyfm893.sg or download the SPH radio app available on Google Play or the App Store.